There is a truth that is not relative to circumstances, and it's the truth of God's Word. That's why I tell you all the time, trust God's Word, because the one who gave the promises never changes.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, How Faith Prays. This is chapter 3 on the series called, Now Faith Is. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
We all want answers to prayers. There's nothing more thrilling than praying earnestly for something we believe is God's will for us, and then to see our prayer beautifully answered. No doubt about it, no one in the Bible encouraged prayer more than Jesus Christ. And he always connected answered prayer to unwavering faith. We all know the Bible passages such as, Be it unto you according to your faith, or go your way, your faith has made you whole. Well, today we're going to look at how faith prays. That is, how does faith lay hold of the promises of God and persevere until God answers? I believe today's message is going to greatly encourage you, so grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message, How Faith Prays.
Now listen to the 3 keep ons. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Now those 3 words connect to each other. Like you've got the locomotive, that's the asking. You've got the middle car, that's the seeking. You've got the caboose, that is the knocking. We begin by asking, and we say, Lord, give me a job. I'm asking for a job. But you don't sit in your living room waiting for the phone to ring or somebody to come knocking on your door. When you ask for a job, you've got to go start seeking. Come on, everybody. It says, seek and you will find. We ask, and then we believe that God heard our request, and now I'm going to cooperate with God, and I'm going to start seeking for that job. But then we need perseverance, and that's where the knocking comes in. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and then keep on seeking. You don't go to one place looking for a job, the place you really wanted, and if they turn you away, you don't go home and put your Bible up and never believe God again and walk away from the church and forsake the faith because it did not happen on the first go around. No, God says, seek and keep on seeking. He says, knock and keep on knocking. Seeking means I'm putting feet to my faith. Knocking means I'm persevering in putting feet to my faith. And so, listen, when I went to look for this building, when we were looking for a building for our church, I looked at least 20 or 30 buildings. There were buildings I just knew it was God. Matter of fact, I was convinced of one of them, totally convinced. Went home, told Kathy, I got a building, I know I found our building, but there was one man on the board of directors of this building who said no. I wanted to find him. I wanted to take him into a sanctified alley and ask him why. He was saying no because all the rest of the board of directors were saying, sure, hey, that's great. You take this building. But this one man, he was like one person on a jury of 12 who says no, no, no. And I couldn't figure it out, but I had to finally believe God is in charge of that one man. God is sovereign over that one man. God is using that one man, even though I hate to admit it, so I'm going to keep on looking. And I kept on looking until God opened this building up right here. And when he did, the door flung open. The finances fell into place. And God made a way where there was no way. He made a river in the desert. He made a road in the wilderness. But every day, weeks on end, we looked and we looked and we looked, seeking and keeping on seeking, knocking and keeping on knocking, and finally it opened. Amen. Paul told the Ephesian church, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. He told the Colossians, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. In other words, don't quit. Keep on. Keep on praying. If you know something is the will of God, how do you know? You know because the Bible tells you what the will of God is. If I'm praying for people to be saved, I know that's the will of God. For God is not willing that any should perish, but all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So every week I pray that people are saved in church. And this morning we had four people come down in the early service in an icy Sunday to give their hearts to Jesus. Four people. Now that means that heaven is rejoicing already today and God's not done yet. But see, I pray every week because I know I can stand on that promise. I know that's His will. I know He's going to give me what I've asked of Him. So even if a Sunday came and in all three services nobody came, nobody responded, would I quit praying that people be saved? Never. I just keep on knocking and I keep on seeking and I keep on asking. And eventually, God moves. Jesus said in a parable, men ought always to pray and not give up. Sometimes a prayer is answered immediately, while other times perseverance in prayer is the only thing that'll bring an answer. You just got to keep on keeping on and persevere no matter what you see or don't see, what is happening or what is not happening. Let me tell you something about prayer. The truth is, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes when first we pray. When we go to heaven and we approach the throne of God and we say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking for this, that, or the other. And what I'm asking for, I know is in your will because it's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. So I know I'm praying according to the will of God. What we don't see is how God goes into motion and goes into action and God begins moving in ways that we're not aware of. Did you know that most of what God does, we're never aware of it? Some of you have been praying for things for a while. You've been targeting something in prayer. And what you don't see is God is already getting you ready for the answer and the answer ready for you. God is moving behind the scenes. There are some prayers that we pray that they're just going to take some time. Sometimes God is getting the right situation ready for you and you ready for the right situation. If He gave it to you the minute you began to pray, it might mess you up. God has to chisel some on you, work some on you, grow you up a little bit, and then God answers that prayer. It's usually a little bit of both. He's getting you ready for the answer and the answer ready for you. But you can be sure that when you pray according to His will, God is moving behind the scenes to answer it in ways you don't see or know until the answer finally arrives. When I was a little boy, I loved trains. I don't know why, because I don't like trains now at all. I like riding on one, but I really try to not have to wait for one to go by. I don't like them that way. But I was a little boy. I loved trains. I was fascinated with trains. And one day, a few weeks before Christmas, my daddy came to me, and my dad said, Jeff, what do you want for Christmas? And I just blurted it out. I had faith as a little boy. I blurted it out. I said, I want a train. He said, you want a train? I said, I want a train. I was about 5 years old. I want a train. He said, okay. I'll never forget that next Christmas morning. I was up early. I was always up early. My dad did this. My dad would get an apple, and he would show it to me the night before. And he would say, I said, what's that for? He said, this is for Santa. And the next morning, the apple would be eaten to the core. And I go, ooh, he was here. But watch this, I was always up early on Christmas morning, down under the tree, opening the presents, and I opened up everything, no train. And then my mom and dad said, Jeff, come with us. Now, I was in New York, I was born in New York, don't hold it against me. I was raised in Texas, I'm good, I say y'all, instead of you guys. Now, we had a basement, because everybody in New York has basements. I was in upstate New York, and we had a basement, and my mom and dad took my hand and carried me down to the basement, and my dad said, Jeff, flip on the light switch. And I flipped the switch. And when I flipped the switch, it activated a Lionel train that my dad had constructed complete with a headlight, smoke coming out of the locomotive, mountains and hills and valleys that it crossed over and under, and all of those things on a huge piece of plywood. It was amazing. Now watch. I said, Dad, I want a train. And then he began to answer my prayer. But I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know that my dad was working behind the scenes in ways I couldn't see. He was out buying plywood. He was constructing the tracks. He was buying the train. He was making and building the hills and the valleys and the bridges. All these things, all I saw was the finished product, the train I'd asked for. And prayer is the same way. You say, God, I want a train, whatever your train is. I want a train. In Jesus' name. And I know it's your will. And God says, all right. And what you don't see is he goes to work on your behalf behind the scenes in ways that you don't know. He gets people ready. He gets circumstances ready. He gets money ready. He gets the door ready. He gets everything ready. He sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He gets everything ready. And then in the right time, the right moment, in his timing, he says, flip on the light switch. And we see the answer. And we go, wow! And I can truly say that what my dad did that Christmas was exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask for or even imagine. And that's what the Bible says God does. So that's why we've got to persevere. We've got to be patient with some prayers. Because God's moving and you've got to give him time to move. Amen. How many of you have got a train you're waiting for? Amen. Come on, you've been praying about some things. Give God time. How many of you have been waiting for a while? Amen. How many of you have prayed more than once? How many of you have prayed a lot of times? But you keep on doing it because you know it's the will of God. Come on, let me see your hands. The Bible says persevere, 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 and don't give up because God is working. Now, a third characteristic of praying faith is really important. This might be the most important one of all, and that is praying faith trusts God's character. The Bible kind of faith places its trust in the righteous, trustworthy character of God. Let me tell you a secret. Here's a reality of life. Any promise is no better than the one who made the promise. Isn't that right? Any promise that you're ever given is no better than the promiser. It's no better than the one who made the promise. We've all experienced being promised something or guaranteed something by somebody, and we walk away and somebody comes up to us and says, what do you think about that promise? And here's what we say. We say, I don't know, because I just don't trust them. And when we say, I don't trust them, what we're saying is, I can't believe them because I don't trust their character. And so if I don't trust their character, their promise is worthless to me. Because a promise is only as good as the one who makes it. See, watch this. I can't believe someone that I don't believe in. Catch that, everybody. See, it says about Abraham. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But why did Abraham believe God? He believed God because he believed in God. He believed that God is the God of the promises. He believed that God is true to his word. He believed that the word of the Lord will never return void, but it will do what it's sent forth to accomplish. He believed in the God, the character, and the trustworthiness, and the truthfulness, and the loyalty of the God of the promise. See, you can't believe the promises of God without believing in the God of the promises. Oh, I'm saying something here today. It really matters. You got to catch this now, because you will never pray with boldness and confidence to God if you don't believe in God and what the Bible says about God. Let me tell you what the Bible says about God. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not a man that he would lie. This is Moses writing. God is not a man that he would lie. God will never lie to you. Can I say it again? God will never lie to you. He will never lie. He's not a man so that he can ever or will ever lie. Amen. If he says, you call upon my name and upon my son, and you say, I believe you died for me and rose from the dead, I put my faith in you as my Savior, God's not a man that he can lie. You will be immediately saved. He will never say, well, you know, it's true for 90% of them, but it's not true for you. He'll never say that. God is not a man that he can lie. You don't ever have to worry that God's pulling the wool over your eyes. That's what Satan told Eve in the garden. God's lying to you. God wants to withhold from you. God doesn't want the best for you. And Satan attacked God's character. And when he attacked God's character and she believed it, she fell. It matters what you believe about God. Now he goes on. God isn't a man that he would lie, or a human being that he would ever change his mind. God never changes his mind. The Bible you're holding in your hand is a book full of promises made thousands of years ago. But what was true thousands of years ago is true today. You know why? Because the God that made the promises never changes. He never changes. Our God never changes. James said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow, not even a shadow of change. Yes. Not even a shadow. He doesn't change even a shadow. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who never changes. He never changes. What was true yesterday is true today. The word of the Lord endures forever. The flower and the grass wither and burn up in the summer, but the word of our Lord endures forever. He never changes. Jesus said, your word is truth, and it never changes. And it never changes because he never changes. He never shifts for a culture or a people or because we want him to. He never changes. There is a truth that is not relative to circumstances, and it's the truth of God's word. That's why I tell you all the time, trust God's word, because the one who gave the promises never changes. Come on, everybody. He asked the question, has he ever spoken and not done it, or promised and not fulfilled it? Psalms 89:14 says, your throne stands on what is right and fair. Your throne, Lord, your authority, everything you're about is right and fair. Over and over again, the Bible affirms God's trustworthy character. You can trust him. So therefore, you can trust the promises. The bottom line is his character is unassailable. His promises are unbreakable. And our knowledge of that is what gives us boldness and confidence in the place of prayer. Because he said, if you pray according to my will, it's coming. And he's not a man that he can lie. Amen. For instance, when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham approached him in prayer. And he began his prayer. He stood right in front of God. As God was making his way down to Sodom and Gomorrah, he stood right in front of him. And he made a statement affirming God's character. He said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's not questioning God. He's saying, I know you, and you will do what is right because your character is righteous. And then he began praying, and I love it. I love the way he prayed, because he believed in a trustworthy, loyal, righteous, and compassionate God. He prayed for mercy. And he started out praying, Lord, if there's only 50 people, will you spare the city for 50 people? God said, okay, if there's 50, I'll spare the city. He said, well, okay, since you'll do that, how about 45? God said, all right, for 45, I'll spare the city. And then now Abe's on a roll. He says, what about 40? Listen, if I was buying a house, I'd want Abraham in there with me. Because he says, what about 30? What about 20? And he goes all the way to 10, from 50 to 10. He said, if there's 10 righteous, will you spare it, Lord? He said, for 10. But guess what? It wasn't even 10 left in that city. But see what God was willing to do? And Abraham was able to pray it because of what he believed about his character. He believed that God's character was righteous and trustworthy and good. That's why we say all the time, God is good. All the time. And all the time. A.W. Tozer once wrote this. Listen carefully to this statement. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. That's a powerful statement. And he goes on, here's what he writes. The picture we have of God, what we believe his nature or character to be, profoundly influences the way we move through life, approach relationships, manage resources, or handle the difficulties we encounter along the way. The picture you have of God is the greatest predictor of where you will be 10 years from now. Not your degree, not who you marry, but how you see God. Is he a good God or is he unfair? Does he truly care about what happens to me or does he not? Is he able really to answer prayer or not so much? Does he love me unconditionally, faults and all, or does his love swing on the hinge of my performance? What you believe about God is the most important thing about you because nothing else will mold and shape your life more than that. Jesus told the parable of the talents. He said, a master of a householder went on a long journey and he turned his talents over to three servants. One servant got five, the other servant two, and one servant one. The one that had five invested and made five more. He had 10 to give back to the master when he returned. The one that had two invested it and got two more and gave back double what the master had sowed into his life. But the one that had one buried it. Now I want you to listen why he buried it. He said, sir, when the master returned and faced him, he said, sir, I just knew you were a hard, unfair man. And I was afraid you would rob me of what I earned. So I hid your money in the earth. And here it is. Now watch this, everybody. This one who failed, this one who buried his talent, didn't invest it, and didn't use what God had given him, he did it because of what he believed about the master. To this man, his master was harsh, unfair, fearful, and untrustworthy. He totally distrusted the character of the master, and it robbed him of a fruitful life. Wow, it matters what you believe about God. See, I know that I'm not giving my life in vain. I know that having served the Lord since I was 18, I haven't done it in vain. I haven't wasted my time, haven't wasted my life. A wasted life is the life that never serves God. And why have I given him my life? Because I believe some fundamental things about God. He's good, he's worthy, he's trustworthy, he's honorable, and he is the living creator God. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about God? Do you believe he's good? Do you believe he answers prayer? Do you believe that he is powerful? Do you believe he can bind the devil? Do you believe he can set you free? Do you believe he can heal you? Do you believe he'll provide for you? Do you believe that he's your peace? He's your banner? He's your shepherd? He's your strength? He's your guide? He's your counselor? Do you believe that about God? Then that's the way you'll pray. So say with me, true faith will pray, will persevere in prayer, and places its trust in the trustworthy character of God.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled How Faith Fights, in this series we call Now Faith Is. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.